My uncle ain't nobody's fool. Them city guys he can ridicule. He don't need A cards for his mule.
Down in Arkansas.
Life Boy presents The Bob Burns Show, bringing you latest news of those kinfolks in Van Buren. More doings of the Arkansas Traveler. Spike Jones and his city slickers. Now, here he is himself, Bob Burns.
Well, I certainly am much obliged. Ain't it wonderful? Ain't it nice for us all just to get here together and kind of forget the outside world for a while? And, you know, where nothing is expected of each other. I don't expect anything of you, and I know you don't expect nothing from me. But honestly, to get out from there, just to come in here and forget the outside. Ain't that getting to be a confusing thing? That outside world with all them ration cards and all them different things. But let me tell you something now. On Thursdays, I hardly ever eat anything because when I eat it, it makes me dull. That is, it makes me duller. But I did. I went over here today. I went over here at noon and to a little restaurant and got a bowl of soup. And I was sitting back there all by myself and everything was quiet and all of a sudden, I heard the patter of little feet. And I looked down, and a little mouse had jumped up on the seat right beside me. Well, I sat there just so still, it didn't move a muscle. And so he hopped up on the table, and he went scampering. He smelled this soup, and, well, that wasn't hard to do. And he went scampering across over here to this soup, and he put his little feet up on the bowl and saw the soup. And then he climbed up on the edge of the bowl, and he started to sip some of this soup. And his little feet slipped, and he fell in the soup. And I called the waiter over, and I says, "Waiter, look here, there's a mouse in my soup." And the waiter says, "Let me have your ration book. That's 5 points. Well, they've got to have those ration books and everything like that because it is the truth that meat is getting scarce. I remember not long ago when you went into a drive-in or a restaurant and ordered a meat sandwich, they had 6 toothpicks in the sandwich to keep the meat from falling out. Now you get a sandwich, there's only 1 toothpick in it. And that ain't to keep the meat from falling out, that's to show you where the meat is. But now, of course, good times are going to come again. There's no question about that. But they can't blame us for kind of reminiscing a little bit, you know, and kind of looking back on those good old days. You remember them good old days when horses came with buggies and not with French fried potatoes? Honestly, in these days, you just never know what's going to happen next. Now, we thought all the good fortune that could happen to anybody had already happened to us on the show. I suppose you know that Life Boy was voted the most popular soap in the armed forces. And then last week, of course, I was all puffed up because they named the new secret weapon after my bazooka. And now this week, we really do feel Tony around here. Because our own Spike Jones has really got himself into high society. Now, if you just get the current issue of the Saturday Evening Post, that's the April 10th issue, it just seems to me like the whole magazine is devoted exclusively to pictures and the life story of Spike Jones and his city slickers. I advise all you people east of Pasadena to run out and get one of them Saturday Evening Posts. Of course, Spike Jones has bought up all the copies on the West Coast. But now, just because we are so proud of Spike, we'd like to give you a little extra treat tonight. I want you to hear Spike talk. So here he is in person, Spike Jones. Now, Spike, you know, there's a few little things that the Saturday Evening Post didn't cover in their article. And they didn't tell about you winning the award, you and your boys, as the Kings of Corn. Not long ago. Now, how did that honor affect you, Spike?
Well, I found out that the people like corn, and I tried my best to give them to them, Bob.
Yeah, and you've done a pretty good job of it, too. Boy, if you certainly do put the corn in your music. Why, I went to get one of your records the other day, and I had to give up 16 points. Spike, now, I know all the great orchestra leaders and conductors. I know they all have a certain tonal quality that they strive to get. Like Jeff Fields, for instance, he has that rippling rhythm, you know. And now, have you got any certain tonal quality that in your music you
strive? Oh, sure, Bob, sure, yeah.
But where did you get your inspiration for that tonal quality? You must have heard a sound like it someplace when you traveled.
Oh, yes, I got the idea for it when I heard a truckload of empty milk cans crash into a carload of live ducks.
You read that just like an elocutionist. Well, have you a number in your mind, Spike, to demonstrate that?
Yes, we have a little number called Hotcha Cornya.
Oh, we can't wait to hear it. Well, did you get any on you? My goodness alive, how that Jones boy can play music. What he lacked in musical ability, he makes up for in just sheer energy.
Hello, Bob. Hello.
Now, there's a dynamo of energy for you, that Dick Lane. I declare it wouldn't surprise me none if he fell asleep right where he's standing over there. Hey, Dick, wake up. What's going on here?
I'm sorry, Bob. I'm just kind of tired.
You're suffering from spring fever? Why don't you take a shower and pep up?
What's that? Shower?
Sure.
A Lifebuoy shower?
Why not?
Man, now you're talking. Why, the very thought of a Lifebuoy shower puts new energy in my veins. I can just imagine the tingling glow I'll feel after that rich Lifebuoy lather has washed away that old tired feeling.
Well, now, take it easy, Dick.
Why should I? I know what a cure for spring fever Lifebuoy shower can be.
Now, take it easy, Dick. Take it easy.
But why? Why shouldn't I get as excited as I want to about Lifebuoy?
Because if you get all pepped up just talking about a Lifebuoy shower, I'm scared to death at what you'd do if you actually took one. Why, you'd be so full of pep, you might jump right out the window. Oh, well, what's one announcer, more or less?
In the town where the
the Arkansas Traveler holds forth as the newspaper editor, spring has come. Spring. Lovely spring. Let's see what it brings.
Oh, it sure is great to have the office windows open again, Dewey. Doggone it, just smell that air.
Yeah, just don't catch cold, boss.
April, April, laugh thy girlish laughter. Then the moment after, weep thy girlish tears.
Gee, boss, are you sure you're all right?
And time remembered is grief forgotten. The frosts are slain and flowers...
are rotten.
Answer that. I can't see a soul today. On a day like this, I just say, leave me alone with a book of poems and a couple of good seed cattle.
Traveler's office. He can't see anybody. He's got spring fever bad.
Hang it, I had that pamphlet on turnip right here someplace.
I don't care if Jack Daly does say he's got an appointment.
Who? Appointment? Show him in.
Never mind. Traveler will see him. Gee, make up your mind, boss.
What's wrong with you, Dewey? You snapping at everybody? Face as long as Hitler's alibi.
Well, there's nothing, really.
Oh, there must be something on a day like this.
Well, to be frank with you, it died.
What the?
Well, I hadn't meant to tell you, but it was dead when I got to work this morning. After all I did to raise it, too.
For goodness sake, Dewey, what died?
That radish on my desk. I guess we haven't got the right touch for this victory gardening in the city room, boss. That spinach Julie planted in the window boxes?
Yeah?
It's dead, too. And the onion on Emily's desk needs an oxygen tent or something.
Well, Dewey, I guess there's such a thing as carrying this victory garden too far. Green things need space, sun, and water. You can waste time and seeds. Speaking of victory garden, show in Jack Daly. That's his business.
Okay.
Thanks, Dewey. Oh, hello, Traveler. Isn't this a swell day? Well, the city's Victory Garden contest is off with a bang.
So you got it started.
I sure did. The mayor's proclaiming Victory Garden Day. The water company's giving special rates to home gardens. Real estate men loan vacant lots. And people can borrow plows and other heavy equipment.
Well, Jack, looks like you've lined up everything except the cutworm. But it's a great idea because raising extra food is one way almost every man, woman, and child can help.
You know, the mayor's had a swell idea, too.
Yeah?
To hold a Victory Garden Fair in the Civic Auditorium. You know, have folks display their vegetables and have them judged by real experts with prizes.
That's even better.
And instead of giving prizes to the finest vegetables grown, we're encouraging quantity. Like the first prize of a $100 war bond to the person growing the most potatoes per square foot in his own yard. We're depending on you for publicity, Traveler.
Count on me 100%. Our elementary garden book is just off the press to give away, and I've called it potatoes, not petunias.
Well, here's an idea we want stressed. Don't plant more than your wife can take care of.
Well, you know, that's the truth. After the spring fever and the magic of the seed catalog wears off, men get tired and have to leave it to somebody else.
That's it. It's easy to get hopped up now, but the real pull comes later when the sun really comes down and the weeds up. Well, Traveler, you seem to have the right idea, so I'll run along.
Don't worry about me, Jack. Before I'm through, a weed's going to feel like a fifth columnist in this town.
Ah, you don't know what you're talking about, Tony.
I don't, huh? All right, wise guy, what does it say in the garden book?
Right here it says, a convenient fertilizer for potato ground is ashes because ashes contain potash and potatoes need potash.
Yeah, I say the guy who wrote that is crazy. We got more ashes than a volcano in our backyard. Not a single potato came up. How can a guy win if the book's wrong?
Well, if the Traveler's giving this book away, it's okay, see?
Yeah, you think the Traveler's so much.
Hey, do I hear my name mentioned?
Gee, let me out of here.
Don't go, son. Use my office as a conference room for your pal, Dewey?
This is Tony Florento, Traveler. He goes to my school. He claims the garden book's no good. They planted potatoes, like I said, and he says nothing came up but a jackknife he lost and two old shoes.
Yeah, and the shoes wasn't even mates.
Have you registered in the garden contest, Tony?
Sure. I could use one of them prizes.
What part of town you live in, son?
They live over by Cold Hill in those tenements. I mean, in that block of apartments.
Oh, I know the place. Chances are the soil's not much good.
You mean we ain't got a chance to win?
Well, Tony, there's no use trying the impossible, even with a victory garden. Oh, excuse me. Yeah?
Hello, Traveler. Jack Daly.
Oh, hello, Jack. How'd you like that last garden paper?
Oh, it was a knockout, Traveler. Just one thing. I wish we hadn't run the picture of that swell garden banker Conrad made out of his front lawn.
Why? It showed how to do it in a really business-like way.
It showed it too well. It also showed banker Conrad's two professional gardeners using expensive equipment most people don't have. People got the idea they can't win against competition like that. Registrations for the contest have dropped like a Jap zero.
Oh, I get the point.
We ought to concentrate on the real amateurs for a change. That is, if we want them to show up at the fair.
You've given me an idea, Jack. Tell you about it later. Oh, Tony.
Yes, sir?
Now, suppose you did win that $100 bond for prize potatoes. What did you do with it?
Oh, gee, I'd keep it till the war's over and maybe go to high school, I guess.
Well, that sounds sensible. All right, Tony, I guess there's no rule against a fella getting help in this contest. Hold down the telephone, Dewey. I'm going over to Tony's place and see if the ground will support anything besides mortgage.
No good, huh?
It's mighty poor ground, Tony. They've dumped too much rubbish here for too many years. The soil is sour.
That's all the backyard we got, mister.
What's that yard over there beyond the fence?
Used to be a brewery there. Can't you tell by the all old barrels?
Now, these fire escapes all around the building where you live here, does it get hot on them?
It gets so hot you can't walk on them with bare feet.
Those old barrels, they'll hold dirt all right.
Say, what's the matter with you? I want to know about gardens, not barrels.
Well, son, I'm not so far off my head as you think, I hope. I'll help you try an experiment if you'll get the boys to help. Now, maybe we can hand them a surprise when it comes time for the mayor's victory garden fair.
Oh, there you are, Traveler.
Oh, hello, Jack. You sure got a crowd together for the fair.
Isn't this something? Say, did you see those spuds banker Conrad entered in the contest?
Yes, I sure did. Only when you figure up what he spent for the gardeners and the fertilizer, them ain't spuds. They're pedigreed potatoes. Say, who's that up there on the platform of the mayor? The judges committee?
Yeah, Professor Emmons from the State College, a fellow from the Department of Agriculture, and that's Dr. Wiley, the botanist.
Well, if they can't pick the winners, I don't know who can.
Fellow citizens.
Quiet, everybody, quiet.
It gives me great pleasure as mayor of this city to announce the awards this afternoon. It is indeed a thrill to see our Victory Garden Fair so well attended. It's been an inspiration to see how folks in all walks of life have devoted abandoned spaces, beautiful lawns, and flower beds to vegetables. And now, the awards. The awards to the potato displays. Let me see. First prize, the $100 war bond to... is this right, Professor? Thank you. First prize to Tony Parento, age 13, of the Goat Hill Apartments for... What's this? For 56 pounds of netted gem potatoes per square foot. Second prize to Timothy O'Hara, age 12, of Goat Hill Apartments. 53 pounds per square foot. Third prize to Stanislaus Hochak, also of Goat Hill Apartments, age 11, 48 pounds per square foot.
I question that, Mr. Mayor.
What's that? You object, Mr. Patton?
I sure do. I haven't grown potatoes for over 30 years down around Pine Hollow, the best potato ground in the world. And Dad, never, I never got a year like that.
Well, sir, not being in the field of potatoes myself, as you might say, I can't answer you.
I say there's something wrong, and them prizes ought to be stopped. Did you find out?
Just a minute. Someone has just introduced me to the first prize winner, Tony Parento. Well, son, did you put this information down in your entry card?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor.
Well, how large a space did you grow your potatoes in, son? Come on, don't be afraid to speak up. We're all friends.
Well, it was about 2 feet across one way and 2 feet across the other way.
What?
Well, you see, it's a fake.
It's not a fake. We stayed home Saturdays and after school to bring all that earth and stuff up those fire escapes, and we watered them every night till we hardly could walk.
You grew potatoes on fire escapes?
Yeah, we grew them in barrels.
Well, I confess I'm altogether at sea. Perhaps we'd better postpone these awards until
now,
we can...
Now, hold on just a minute, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, hello, Traveler. What do you know about all this?
Everything just like the boy said. They put barrels on the landings of the fire escape of the Goat Hill tenements in the blazing sun. They put rich dirt in the bottom of each and then planted a potato. As it sprouted, they kept adding the richest dirt they could find, forcing the plant to grow taller and taller until it reached the top. They watered those barrels regularly and added liquid fertilizer until, well, it's the truth. Those potatoes just about filled the barrel.
Well, I'll be darned. Where do you suppose they learned that trick, Traveler?
Well, now, far be it from me to quote Lincoln in defense of anything I've done, but, you know, Lincoln once said, "Die when I may, I want it said by those who knew me best that I always pulled a weed and planted a flower where I thought a flower would grow." That goes for potatoes, too. I figured they'd grow at Gold Hill, and if anybody wanted them as bad as those boys did, they was entitled to know a way to grow. And they did. Now, does anybody have anything to say?
Sure do.
Well, what is it, Mr. Patton?
Where does a fella go to get them barrels?
Lifebuoy does make you feel just great. That rich, foamy lather does more than merely get rid of dirt. It peps you up. It leaves you tingling. So wake up to Lifebuoy. Wake up to the fact that we all perspire, and that you too may offend. But a daily bath or shower with Lifebuoy is your insurance against B.O., for Lifebuoy contains a special ingredient which stops B.O. cold.
Lifebuoy does the trick all right. Makes you feel so clean and bright.
When you've got a heavy day,
Lifebuoy makes you feel just great.
And you'll never have to worry about
me.
And now here he is again, Bob Burns.
Say, thank you, Dick. I was going to tell you people that, you know, about this little play we just did. Now, I hope that'll be an inspiration to you. But if it makes just one person raise a victory garden, then we'll think the time's been well spent. Of course, I'm awful proud to tell you that I've got a victory garden of my own out here in Canoga Park. And if I do say so myself, my little garden is a jewel. 14 carats. That's pretty bad, ain't it? You know, I'm telling you, I don't want you people to get discouraged with your garden. I was kind of discouraged at first because the things I'm raising out there, they didn't turn out to be as big as the things that we raised down in Arkansas. But then it dawned on me the reason why. It's just because this land out here has been worked a little bit more. Now, you take that land down in Arkansas where you've just cut the trees off and you got the stumps on the land, and the land is, it's got all the minerals and vitamins in there, and the things naturally grow big, and then the climate's got something to do with it. I remember that my ancestors, when they first come into Arkansas, they didn't have any house, and they didn't have time. They was raising them vegetables and things. Do you know that my family lived in a half a cantaloupe for 3 years? Why, you'd be surprised how big things go. And now you talk about pumpkins. We raise a lot of pumpkins down there, and some punks. But we raise them pumpkin vines. You never saw anything grow like them in your life. You know that them pumpkin vines grow so fast, we've got to put roller skates on the little pumpkins so the vines don't drag them to death. The last time they had a fair here at Pomona, I wrote down to Arkansas to my Uncle Eunice. I wanted to enter some of his Irish potatoes in the Pomona Fair. And I told him in the letter to only send 100 pounds because that's all the fair allows a person to enter of any one vegetable. And he wrote back and he said, "I wouldn't cut one of my potatoes in two for anybody." Yeah, that's the reason why I didn't know, I keep saying I wrote it. I didn't have a thing to do with it.
A friend of mine, wrote a song, and it's called I'm Going Back to My Razorback down in Arkansas, and I'm going to sing it tonight just to give you an inspiration. Luther, come up here. My cousin Luther. Now, Luther, tonight, I don't want you I don't want to play this thing loud. I want you to accompany me, and I don't play it fortissimo. I want you to play this more pizzicato. What do you mean, hoarser? You don't even know what pizzicato means.
I do, too.
All right, what is pizzicato?
It's green ice cream.
Well, now you play this green ice cream. Then go ahead, boys. I'm going back to my razorback down in Arkansas. My favorite cow means a lot more now down in Arkansas. No more counting sheep in my sleep. Gonna go back where they're real. And count the kind of sheep you eat at a good old home-cooked meal. I'm going back to my razorback down in Arkansas. Ain't gonna shirk, gonna do my work like I never did before. Gotta help the nation with the ration. You can count on me and my paw. 'Cause I'm going back to my razorback down in Arkansas.
I'm going back to my razorback down in Arkansas.
Good, let's all go.
My favorite cow means a lot more now down in Arkansas.
There ain't no bad cows now.
No more counting sheep in my fleet. Gonna go back where they're real.
Well, you mean the kind they ration.
And count the kind of sheep you eat at a good old home-cooked meal. Oh,
going back to my razorback down in Arkansas. Ain't gonna shirk, gonna do my work like I never did before. I'll be cutting pork and mutton, no more begging at the butcher store. 'Cause I'm going back to my razorback down in Arkansas. You know, I used to think that when you spend a dollar, it's gone, but that ain't so. And I'll show you why. Now, here's $18.75. I'm going to spend it on a war bond. Now, here's what it buys. Now, when a shell explodes, it can't ever be used again, but the money you spend for it can. Listen. Now, that's the sound of the new car you're going to buy after the war is over with the same war bond that was paying for shells and guns and planes today.
You've got something there, Bob. But when we buy war bonds, we're only lending our money to the government. For every $3 you invest, you get $4 back. So let's all join in buying more bonds than ever before. You've done your bit. Now do your best. Remember, America's second war loan starts April 12th.
Fire, she blows!
A whale sure holds a lot of water, and so does Lifebuoy Shaving Cream. It picks up and holds longer, more moisture than any other popular shaving cream. That means you get a smoother, easier shave, even with a used blade or cold water, than you would with other dryer lathers. No doubt about it, Lifebuoy Shaving Cream is a whale of a good buy.
There she blows!
The makers of Lifebuoy will again bring you Bob Burns next week at the same time with more about his relatives, more doings of the Arkansas Traveler, and Spike Jones and his City Slickers.
Good night, everybody. See you next week.
Remember, Lifebuoy is the only soap especially made to stop. This program comes to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.